We present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Garda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and Steve, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge. Episode 7, The Suspects. Paul Temple is visited by Sir Graham Forbes of Scotland Yard and by a Mr. Philip Kaufman, who is attached to the special branch. Kaufman tells Paul Temple about a notorious criminal known as Dr. Belasco. Temple promises to try and discover the identity of Belasco, and during the course of certain investigations, makes the acquaintance of the following suspects: Mrs. Forrester, Joseph, a servant of Mrs. Forrester, Henry Worth, Ed Bellamy, the proprietor of the Machicha Club, and a certain Dr. David Nelson.
Hello, what's this?
It's the evening paper. They've got the Forrester story on the front page.
So I see. It's not a very good photograph of her, is it?
I didn't think it was too bad. After all, newspaper photographs are never very...
Beg your pardon, ma'am.
Charlie.
What the devil? Why, Mr. Nelson.
What's the meaning of this, Mr. Nelson?
Well, I'm sorry bursting in like this, Mrs. Temple. It's quite unforgivable, I know, but...
That's all right, Charlie. You can go.
Sir.
Now, what is it?
You've seen tonight's papers?
Yes.
About Mrs. Forrester, I mean. About her being dead?
Yes.
Well, that's just the point.
What do you mean?
She's not dead.
Not dead?
I saw her myself, half an hour ago.
I don't believe it.
Where did you see her?
I saw her coming out of the house in Berkeley House Place.
Go on.
You don't believe me, do you?
Well, I must confess I find it rather difficult to believe you.
You must be mistaken, Mr. Nelson.
I'm not mistaken. I tell you, I saw Mrs. Forrester as clearly as I can see you now.
You say you saw her come out of the house in Berkeley House Place?
Yes.
When?
I've told you. About half an hour ago.
Were you watching the house?
Well...
Well, were you?
Yes, I suppose I was.
Why?
I'll be frank with you. I've always believed that Mrs. Forrester was Dr. Belasco. When I read that she'd been killed in a motor accident, I just couldn't believe it. I had a strange sort of feeling that...
That what?
That it wasn't true. I don't know what made me think that. I went down to the house. I'd been there before, you know that. I stood watching it. I must have been there, about 10 minutes or so, when suddenly the door opened and Mrs. Forrester came out. There was a car waiting for her.
What was she dressed in?
She had a fur coat on. The collar was turned up.
If the collar of the coat was turned up, how can you be so sure that it was Mrs. Forrester?
Good heavens, I know her. I've seen her dozens of times.
Go on.
She got into the car and drove away.
Did you take the number of the car?
No, I'm afraid I didn't. I was so surprised at seeing her that it never entered my head.
Did this person you believe to be Mrs. Forrester...
It was Mrs. Forrester.
Well, did she see you?
I don't know. I was sitting in my car on the other side of the road. Well, she must have noticed the car, but whether she actually noticed me or not, I wouldn't like to say.
What sort of a coat was she wearing, Mr. Nelson?
Hmm?
What sort of fur, I mean?
It was a mink coat. Dark mink. It had full sleeves and... My dear Mrs. Temple, it was Mrs. Forrester, all right.
Have you told anyone else about this?
No.
You came straight here?
No, I went back to my flat and had a drink. I was rather shaken.
You felt as if you needed one?
Yes. Temple?
Yes?
I've got a hunch that you're not exactly surprised by all this.
You're right. I'm not.
I did see Mrs. Forrester, didn't I?
Yes. I think you must have done.
But, Paul, he couldn't.
Steve, listen. For some months now, ever since he arrived in this country, in fact, Dr. Belasco has carefully thrown suspicion on Mrs. Forrester. Recently, a series of developments indicated beyond any shadow of doubt that Mrs. Forrester was Dr. Belasco. Accordingly, Sir Graham issued a warrant for her arrest. I knew this would happen, however, and I told Inspector Perry that under no circumstances must Mrs. Forrester be arrested. The motor car accident was faked.
But, darling, you can't hope to get away with that.
I don't hope to get away with it, Steve. Not indefinitely. But for 24 hours, perhaps even 48 hours. Yes. And a lot can happen in 48 hours, Steve.
But why do you think Sir Graham is wrong? About Mrs. Forrester, I mean.
Why do you think he's right?
Well, surely he must be right. Everything points to her being Dr. Belasco.
Not quite everything. One could, for instance, make out a pretty good case against Mr. Worth.
Worth? Ah, yes, I suppose one could.
Or Joseph, for that matter.
Joseph?
He works for Mrs. Forrester.
I'd forgotten about Joseph.
And then, of course, there's yourself, Nelson.
Oh, now, of course, you're just being ridiculous.
Let's all have a very large drink.
Some more coffee, darling?
Hmm? Oh, thank you, Steve.
Paul.
Yes?
I couldn't get to sleep last night for thinking about this Belasco affair. I kept turning over in my mind all the possible suspects.
All the possible suspects? You must have kept yourself pretty busy.
There are half a dozen of them.
Half a dozen? Not that many, surely, Steve.
Well, Mrs. Forrester, one. Joseph, two. Mr. Bellamy, three. Henry Worth, four. David Nelson, five. And Mr. Kaufman, six.
Kaufman. You're not really serious about Kaufman. I keep telling you he's a man of great integrity.
Well, so is Inspector Dale, remember?
Yes, dear. I remember.
Paul, I've been meaning to ask you. Have you discovered why the cigarette lighter Ross Morgan carried was identically the same as Mr. Nelson's?
Yes. Oh, don't you see, Steve? Belasco forms an organization, but the members of the organization are not necessarily known to each other, so they have, in case of an emergency, a means of identification.
They each carry identically the same kind of cigarette lighter?
Exactly.
Then Nelson's wife must have been a member of Belasco's organization.
Because Nelson got the cigarette lighter from her?
Yes.
How do you know that? We've only got his word for it. Steve, you heard Nelson last night. You heard what he said about visiting Mrs. Forrester's.
Well?
Well, didn't his story strike you as being rather inconsistent?
What do you mean?
Well, in the first place, he said that when he read that Mrs. Forrester had been killed in a car accident, he didn't believe it. He even went so far as to visit her house, in fact. Suddenly, according to his story, his suspicions are confirmed and Mrs. Forrester appears. What happens? Nelson, who apparently expected to see Mrs. Forrester, is so overcome by surprise that he immediately dashes back to his flat and mixes himself a whiskey and soda.
Hmm. Paul, you know that man you found at Ryford? The man who drove the lorry?
Abel Dunn, yes.
Well, do you think he was murdered?
I'm pretty sure he was murdered.
But you don't quite know how it was done.
Well, we know how it was done, darling. He was shot. But we don't know who did it.
Did you examine the window, Paul?
Yes, I examined the window. And Bellamy didn't shoot him through the window, if that's what you're thinking. He hadn't even reached the cottage when we heard the revolver shot.
You know, Paul, I don't really understand this business about Mrs. Forrester. Does Sir Graham know that she's not dead?
He does now. I telephoned Perry last night and told him to break the news to the old boy.
But what's the point of it, darling?
I should have thought the point would have been perfectly obvious. If Belasco believes... What is it, Charlie?
I beg your pardon, sir, but Sir Graham Forbes is here, sir.
Ask him in, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
I'll bet he's absolutely furious with you.
I'll bet he is. Hello, Sir Graham. Come in. We're just having breakfast.
Good morning, Steve.
Would you like some coffee?
I should like some coffee very much.
What's the matter, Sir Graham? You don't appear to be your usual light-hearted self this morning.
I don't feel particularly light-hearted, Temple. Now, what's all this nonsense about Mrs. Forrester? I sent Perry to Greenchurch with a warrant for her arrest. He returns with the information that she's been killed in a car accident, and I am now politely informed that she hasn't been killed at all.
Sir Graham.
Well?
You remember when we were down at Greenchurch and Steve and I visited Camberley Lodge?
Yes.
Well, after Joseph and I discovered Braddock in the shrubbery at the back of the house, I went back to the house and had rather an interesting conversation with Mrs. Forrester.
You never told me that, Temple.
No. As a matter of fact, I bullied her into telling me quite an interesting story.
What did she tell you?
Well, at first she refused to tell me anything. I think she was a little embarrassed because Steve was there. Suddenly I realized this, and I told Steve to go back to the car and tell you exactly what had transpired. Go back to the car, Steve. Tell Sir Graham what's happened and ask him to get in touch with the local people. I'll stay here until you return.
Yes. All right, Paul.
Are you frightened of walking down the drive on your own?
Well...
Where is your car, sir?
It's on the main road, Joseph, not far from the cottage you mentioned.
Well, if you wish to remain here, sir, until the police arrive, perhaps I could escort Mrs. Temple back to the car.
No, there's no necessity. I shall be perfectly all right.
Very good, madam.
Well, see you later, darling.
Yes, Steve.
Now, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Temple, I'm going to my room until the police arrive.
One moment, Mrs. Forrester, please.
Yes?
There are one or two questions I'd like to ask you.
I've answered all the questions I intend to answer until the police arrive. So, if you'll kindly excuse
me... Sit down.
I beg your pardon.
You heard what I said. Sit down.
Mr. Temple, I wish to go to my room, so if you kindly let me pass...
Sit down, Mrs. Forrester, before I get tough.
Joseph.
Mr. Temple, I don't think you quite realize what you're saying, sir. This is Mrs. Forrester's house. She's quite at liberty to retire to her room if she wishes to do so.
Quite at liberty, Joseph, but not just at the moment. Now sit down, Mrs. Forrester, and listen to what I've got to say.
Mr. Temple, I must ask you...
That's all right, Joseph.
Now you're being sensible.
Do you wish me to remain, madam?
No, you can go, Joseph.
Thank you, madam.
Now what is it you want to ask me? If it's about that man, the man you've just found, I can only say I have never seen him in my life before. I don't know who he is or where he's come from.
His name's Braddock. He was sent down here by Sir Graham Forbes. However, let's forget Mr. Braddock, shall we? And talk about a friend of yours.
A friend of mine?
Yes. Mr. Worth.
Mr. Worth?
Now, don't tell me you've never heard of Mr. Worth.
Yes, of course I have, but... Well, you would hardly call him a friend of mine.
He visited your house, in town, I mean.
Yes, as a matter of fact, he did.
Why?
I beg your pardon?
I said, why did he visit your house?
Because... Why are you asking these questions? Mr. Worth's got nothing whatsoever to do with what happened.
Mrs. Forrester.
Yes.
Don't let's beat about the bush. You know why I'm here. You know why I'm asking these questions. I'm investigating the Belasco affair, and I've every intention of getting the information I want.
I have nothing to do with Belasco. I swear.
Mrs. Forrester, I've got a shrewd suspicion that Sir Graham Forbes is under the impression that you are Dr. Belasco. Therefore...
What?
Therefore, when he learns about Braddock, it's 10-1...
Mr. Temple, you don't think that I'm Belasco.
Why did Henry Worth visit your house, Mrs. Forrester? Why did you send a man like Harry Marks an invitation to your cocktail party? Why did you lie to me the night that you visited the Machicha?
What do you mean?
You knew perfectly well that Joseph was at the Machicha. You went there to meet him, didn't you? Didn't you?
Yes.
Why?
Because...
Well?
Because... About 6 years ago, just before my husband died, he became involved in a case known as the Hamish Frinton deal.
I remember that case well. It was a new flotation that a man called Elliot Brooke was trying.
Elliot Brooke was my husband. After he died, I reverted to my maiden name. Elliot was tried on an embezzlement charge and acquitted. 3 months later, he died.
Go on.
Elliot was guilty. However, certain important documents disappeared just before the trial started.
Well?
Those documents are still in existence. I've been trying to buy them.
In order to destroy them?
Yes.
Did Worth claim to have possession of the documents?
Worth said that he could find them for me. He put me in touch with a man called Harry Marks. Marks was... Well, he was rather a peculiar type. To put it bluntly, he was something of a snob. He insisted on meeting my friends and being invited to all my cocktail parties. I was frightened to offend the little beast because I really felt that ultimately he would get the papers.
Go on.
When Marks was murdered, I realized that my best plan was to get in touch with an associate of his, a man called Bellamy.
Bellamy owns the Machicha. Yes, I know Bellamy.
I sent Joseph to the Machicha, and he spoke to Bellamy. Bellamy was surprised. He didn't like Joseph, and he insisted on meeting me before committing himself. When I arrived at the Mechicha, Joseph introduced me to Ed Bellamy, and he advised me to contact a man called Abel Dunn.
Did you contact him?
Joseph telephoned him on my behalf, but...
But I answered the telephone.
Yes.
Mrs. Forrester, about this rather incriminating document...
Yes?
It wouldn't concern you by any chance, as well as your husband.
That's beside the point, Mr. Temple.
As you say, Mrs. Forrester, that's beside the point. Now, tell me, how
does Joseph fit into all of this? I knew you'd ask that one sooner or later.
Well?
Joseph used to work for my sister. Before the war, she had a villa on the Riviera, and Joseph... Well, I suppose you'd call him a very old friend of the family.
You trust him?
Oh, explicitly. He's a very intelligent person, you know, and a born organiser. I leave all my personal affairs to Joseph, and I can assure you they are in very capable hands.
I'm sure they are, Mrs. Forrester.
Now, may I go to my room? Or have you any further questions you wish to ask me?
No, you may go, Mrs. Forrester.
About a quarter of an hour later, you returned with Steve and the Greenchurch people.
But you know, Temple, I still don't understand your attitude over this business. Supposing Mrs. Forrester was telling the truth, why did you take the trouble...
Sir Graham, for several weeks now, Belasco has been throwing suspicion onto Mrs. Forrester, so I decided to find out what exactly would happen once Belasco was under the impression that Mrs. Forrester was dead.
It's obvious what'll happen. He'll shift the suspicion onto someone else.
Well, supposing Steve is right, and he does shift the suspicion onto someone else, where does that get us?
It gets us down to a question of simple arithmetic, doesn't it? 2 from 6 leaves 4...
You mean we can forget Mrs. Forrester and concentrate...
Exactly.
Yes, but tell me, does anyone else know about Mrs. Forrester?
You know, Perry knows.
And Kaufman.
Oh, you told Kaufman?
Yes, he was with me last night when Perry telephoned.
And don't forget Mr. Nelson, darling.
Nelson?
Nelson was watching the house last night and saw Mrs. Forrester leave. I feel annoyed about that because I told Perry to take particular care...
It's all right, Paul, I'll take it. Hello?
Hello? Who is that?
Mr. Kaufman?
Yes?
This is Mrs. Temple.
Oh, I am so sorry, Mrs. Temple. I did not recognize you. Is Sir Graham with you at the moment?
Yes. Would you like a word with him?
If you please.
It's Mr. Kaufman, Sir Graham.
Oh, thank you. Kaufman?
I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you, Sir Graham. The National Fur Warehouse was broken into just after 4 o'clock this morning.
Belasco?
Well, quite obviously, Belasco was behind it, sir.
How much did they get away with?
Fortunately, they were disturbed. I should say about £15,000 worth. But there's rather an interesting point, Sir Graham.
Well?
Inspector Perry found a pencil, a small silver pencil. It was found near the side gate where they apparently forced an entrance. He swears it belongs to Mr. Bellamy.
Mr. Bellamy?
Yes.
Well, thank you, Calvin. I shall be at the office in about an hour.
Very good, sir.
Well?
Apparently, Dr. Belasco has switched suspicion onto Mr. Bellamy.
Good evening, Mr. Temple. I'm sorry we're a little on the late side.
That's all right, Inspector. As a matter of fact, I've only just arrived myself.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Carmen.
Have you seen Bellamy?
Not yet.
Don't worry. He knows we're here all right. If the truth was known, I expect he's watching us at this very moment.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Have you got the pencil with you?
Aye.
You are sure it is Bellamy's?
Quite sure.
All right. Let's see what he's got to say about it.
Kaufman.
Yes?
Don't you think it might be rather a good idea if one of us stayed down here? I mean, supposing Bellamy gets tough and decides to make a dash for it.
Yes, perhaps you're right. I'll wait in the hall near the main entrance, near the telephone box.
Right. Come along, Mr. Temple.
Come in. Come in, Inspector. Hello, Mr. Temple.
Bellamy.
Where's the other guy? Don't tell me he bailed out.
I suppose you've been watching us through that perishing periscope of yours.
Sure. Well, sit down. Sit down. Now, what can I get you? Scotch and soda?
Not for me.
Mr. Temple. No? Okay, we'll skip it.
Bellamy, you remember that silver pencil of yours? The small one.
Sure, sure, I remember it.
Have you still got it?
Why, yes.
Where is it?
Why, it's in this drawer. That's funny.
Can't you find it?
Well, it must be here somewhere.
When did you see it last?
Why, only the other... Say, what's all this about, anyway?
Is this your pencil, Mr. Bellamy?
Why, yes. You know darn tooting well that's my... Say, where did you get that?
I found it, or rather, Sergeant Lester did.
Where?
He found it this morning near one of the side entrances to the National Fur Warehouse.
The National Fur... That place was knocked off last night. It's in the papers. Why? What is this? A checkup?
You can call it that if you like.
What else is it? Okay, go on, let's have it.
Where were you last night?
I was here, at the club. I arrived about 8:15.
What time did you leave?
Just after 5.
This morning?
Yeah.
Wasn't that rather late?
Sure.
What time do you usually leave?
Oh, it varies. Usually between 1:30 and 2.
What made you so late this morning?
My accountant dropped in. We had to do a certain amount of work on the books.
Who is your accountant?
A man called Deming. Charlie Deming.
Deming, Seaman and Brooks?
Yes.
Do you know them?
Aye, they're very reliable people.
What time did Mr. Deming arrive?
About 10:00.
And he left?
He left with me, just after 5.
Did anyone see you leave?
No, I don't think... Oh, yeah, Sergeant Carter. He was passing the door just as we were going out.
Did he see you?
Of course he did. As a matter of fact, we had a chat. I introduced him to Mr. Deming. Gee, I guess I've been kind of lucky. I mean, if I'd gone home last night at the usual time and gone straight to bed, I've certainly been lucky.
You certainly have, Mr. Bellamy.
No doubt about Mr. Bellamy's alibi?
None whatsoever. He was telling the truth, all right. It's been checked and double-checked. I don't want to be late tomorrow morning, darling.
I know what that means. You'll be snoring like a pig long after 8:00.
For your information, I do not snore like a pig. I may purr occasionally.
Gosh, I'm tired.
Yes, well, move up, darling. I don't expect to have any bedclothes, but I would at least like to sleep on the mattress.
What time is it?
It's 11:15.
I thought it was later than that.
I didn't think so.
Paul. You know, I still think I'm right about Kaufman.
You're always right, darling.
Yes. Well, I'm very sleepy. Good night.
Good night. What's that?
It's you, darling. You've been making the most extraordinary noises.
Me?
Yes.
Surely I don't make a noise like a bell.
I wouldn't put it past you.
Telephone. Hello? Hello?
Mr. Temple.
Yes? Who's that?
Mr. Temple, listen. 2:00.
What?
Did you hear what I said? Listen, 2:00.
Who is that? Who? The devil.
Paul. What is it?
Well, it sounded to me like Worth. Although I suppose it could have been Kaufman.
What did he say?
He said, listen to the clock.
Is that all he said?
Yes.
Well, what does he mean, listen to the clock? Does he mean our clock? That clock on the mantelpiece?
I suppose he must do.
I don't get it.
I wonder if he... What time is it? What time does the clock say?
Why, it's 11:15.
11:15? But it was 11:15 when we came to bed.
All right, darling, there's no need to get excited. It only means that the clock stopped and... But it can't have stopped. We can hear it. We can... Paul, the hands aren't moving. The clock's ticking, but it must be...
Stay where you are.
What are you going to do?
Don't move.
Paul, darling!
Oh, right, I've got it. Okay. Here we go!
Paul! Who's that? Paul, who is it?
Hello?
Mr. Temple.
Yes?
This is Joseph. I...
What is it, Joseph?
I have got to see you, Mr. Temple. It's urgent. It's desperately urgent. I...
Joseph, what is it? What's the matter?
I've got to see you. I've got to tell you about Belasco.
Where are you? Where are you speaking from?
I'm in a telephone box on the corner of Wesley Street. I'm all shot to pieces, Mr. Temple. They've beaten me up.
Stay where you are, Joseph. I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Paul, what is it? What's happened?
Get dressed, darling. Be quick. Get dressed.
What's happened? I heard a blinking explosion like one of the old doodle bugs.
Get the car out of the garage for me, Charlie. Here's the key. Catch. Be quick.
Okie dokie.
There's the telephone box over on the corner.
You stay in the car, Steve.
No, Paul. Hadn't I better...
Stay in the car, darling. Please. Shan't be a minute.
Who is it? Who is...
It's me, Joseph. Temple. Are you badly hurt?
It's my back. My back and my face. They beat me. They beat me until I couldn't stand it any longer. I couldn't stand it.
Give me your arm. I'll get you over to the car.
No, Mr. Temple. You shouldn't have come here. You shouldn't have come.
What do you mean? Why, you telephoned.
Don't you see? Don't you see? They made me telephone you. They made me do it. They made me. They beat me until I had to do it.
What do you mean? Joseph, what do you mean?
It's a trap.
You have been listening to the 7th episode of Paul Temple and Steve, a serial in 8 episodes by Francis Durbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Gerda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Candida Benson, Jimmy Chisholm, Richard Greenwood, Robin Lang, Michael McKenzie, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Rayner.